Now God is God not of the dead, but of the living. For in God, all of them, all of us, are alive. There are times when the esoteric, the mystical, the unexplainable, the experienced but not understood spiritual realities of the faith come face to face with the everyday facts of life. This is one of those times. We all die. The two things that are sure and certain in this life are death and taxes. We can be assured that we're going to be taxed. Alive, for work, for investments, heck, for breathing and living. And even in death, we're taxed. Working on my grandmother's estate has reminded both my mother and myself that even when living in this world comes to an end, even when a loved one dies, their estates, and hence the reality of them being taxed, goes on. They can't vote anymore. They can't serve on juries anymore. They can't make new decisions. They can't even really spend money anymore, but they can be taxed. Yes, indeed, death and taxes. They come together and they keep going on and on and on and on. Today's reading from the Gospel of St. Luke reminds us, however, that God is a God not of the dead, but of the living. For in God, all of us are alive. This means that those who are part of the family of God and yet are dead are as alive as we are. This was Jesus' proof of the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they were sad, you see. That's really awful. No, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed that when you died, you went to sleep with your ancestors. You went and rested and slept with your ancestors in Sheol. It was not a place of punishment. It was not a place of torture. It was not a place where you would linger and suffer. It was a place where you went and you went to sleep and you rested. That concept of rest in peace comes from this idea. The afterlife was a time of relaxation and sleeping and resting. Oh, what a wonderful thought. That was the Sadducees' understanding of the afterlife. The Pharisees, however, and by the way, you can remember what they thought was important because the Pharisees believed in keeping the law, therefore they were fair, you see. All right, enough jokes. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed that in the next life, you would come back. You would have a body that would be raised, and you would enter into that body. You would be in that body, and you would live in the afterlife, the next life, the new Jerusalem, and you would live again. This concept of resurrection was one that Jesus had accepted and lived himself. He was a good Pharisee in that respect. He accepted that prevailing understanding that the next life was a real one, that it was a continuous one, that it was one that was in coherence with your life here. So the life that you lived here had better be a good one because the next one will follow suit. This concept of resurrection is critically important for many of our understandings in the Christian faith about life, about the communion of the saints. We profess our faith in the communion of the saints every time we affirm the Apostles and the Nicene Creed. Interesting, we didn't do that today in our service. In the Apostles' Creed, we profess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And we usually read it through without thinking about what we're saying. So let's take a look at it. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's easy. Well, it's not, but we'll pass over it for today. The Holy Catholic Church. Well, usually that gets a lot of Protestants right there. I thought we were Methodists. I thought we were Protestant. I didn't think we were Catholic. Guess again. That word Catholic comes from the Greek kalikos, meaning universal, whole, complete, without any lack. It means universal, whole, complete, the entirety thereof. When we profess that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, what we are saying is that it's not just about us here. This isn't the totality of church. It's not just St. Stephen. It's not just the Metro District. It's not just the North Texas Conference. It's not just the United Methodist Church. It's not just the Protestant denominations. It's not just the Orthodox denominations. It's not just the Roman Catholic Church. It's all Christians. It's all people who profess Jesus Christ. It's all people who try to follow God. It's all people who have their heart and their soul in unity together with Jesus, seeking the last, the least, and the lost, acting in faith, living by grace, professing the love of God to all. The community of all believers is the Holy Catholic Church. The church that doesn't know a boundary, a wall, or a name, but is simply the body of Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. What does that mean? Well, historically, it's had a couple of different understandings. Put simply, the communion of the saints is firstly about here, today, all saints everywhere. Every person who professes God, every person who is a believer in Christ, every person who follows the call to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is indeed an affirmation that all people are set apart, all the people of God, all the family of God, is set apart to service, set apart to be together. We are one. It's part of that affirmation about the Holy Catholic Church. Now, historically, it's also looked back. Everybody who has ever been a part of the community of the faith is part of the communion of the saints, is still today part of the communion of the saints, is not left out, is not rejected, is not lost indeed. If you have ever been a part of the family of God, you are part of the communion of the saints, past and present. That means that if you lived in the 1st century, the 10th century, or the 20th century, or the 21st now, you are part of the communion of the saints. But it doesn't stop there. Past and present and future. The communion of the saints recognizes that it's not just about those who have been part of the family of God. It's not just about those who are today part of the family of God. It's about those who will become part of the family of God. Those who are living today, who are yet to be part of the family, and those who won't be born for 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 years. Their inclusion into the family of God is part of the communion of the saints. Now, most of you know I'm kind of weird. And I like to think sometimes outside the box. And normally when we think about time, we think about a timeline with the past over here, and the present in the middle, and the future out by that arrow. And we look into the past and we see the things that have happened, and we know their date and we know who did it. And we see how one event leads to another event, it leads to another event, cause and effect. And then we see where we are today in the current time. And then we can project and imagine and dream about the future. and wonder what's going to happen and speculate about what would lead to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, and that's the future. We often see time as a timeline looking on it from the side. But there is one point of view that says that God sees time not that way, but as if he were to take the timeline and turn it on its end and look down it or up it rather than on it sideways, so that every single event, every single person who ever lived or whoever will live, every single thing that has happened, is happening, or will happen, all happens at the exact same moment and instant. Cause and effect is an illusion from being within. Past, present, and future is an illusion of being within the event itself. In other words, all that is, all that has been, and all that will be happens at one instant. And from God's point of view, every person who ever was, is, or will be, is, exists now. Woo. Okay. Are they playing the Star Trek theme somewhere? I don't know. I've been told by a physicist that this is in line with many concepts within quantum mechanics, a concept known as quantum time. And yet it is an affirmation of the church fathers and mothers going back to the second century that all of time is but a single instant. The past, present, and the future is but a single tick on God's eternal clock. And that the table of the Lord extends to every other table of the Lord, from the Last Supper to the marriage supper of the Lamb in all eternity. And not just in here, and not just in any Methodist church, but in any Presbyterian church, any Lutheran church, any Episcopal church, yes, any Baptist church, any Church of Christ, any Roman Catholic church, any Orthodox church, the table of the Lord is both universal, it is truly Catholic, and encompassing all of time and all of space. And when we meet at the table, we meet with all Christians everywhere and every when at the table together with Christ and in Christ. This profession, the profession of the communion of the saints, which says that we are bound together today with all Christians everywhere and through all time and all space, this affirmation of the Catholicity and the communion of the saints reminds us that we are not alone in this walk. We are not alone in what we face. We are not alone in the pains of life. We are not alone when we face the unknown. We are not alone. We face it together, holding each other up. The saints of today and yesterday and tomorrow join with us in prayer, in thanksgiving, in being fed at the table, and in service to all. So even in our hard moments, when we wonder where our loved ones are, and we pray for them, we can know that in Christ, we are not far from them. That death does not separate us from the love of God and from the love of our sisters and our brothers. That we are all in one instant, just one tick of the clock away from God's eternity. I believe in the Holy Spirit who makes it possible to be part of the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints because of the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ. Indeed, because of the forgiveness of sins, we need not fear God and may look forward to the resurrection that God has for us, the eternity in the communion of saints promised to us, and the life everlasting. give thanks and praise to God as you come to this table, that you are partaking with every Christian who has ever partook, with every Christian partaking today, with every child of God who will ever approach the table from today until the marriage supper of the Lamb in eternity. Give thanks and praise to God that God has called us all into the family, the communion of the saints.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.